Of it when we get started in this lesson this morning. And I want to talk about the body of Christ. Amen. And each one of us being what the Lord wants us to be, that the body may function better. Amen. Everybody has a part in the body of Christ. And everybody is important. Amen. You may not do much as far as having a forward part in a church service, but you are important in the house of God. The fact that you are saved makes you important. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't never get to do much. Well, amen. If we was all chiefs, there'd be no Indians and wouldn't get nothing done. So it takes lots of engines. But it takes a few chiefs too. But every one of us have our part in the work of the Lord. Somebody say amen. God spells it out in the book, amen, what should be done, how it should be done, and what each should do. So this morning we want to start, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Have your Bibles, turn with us this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. And we want to start reading with verse 12, if you will. Amen. The Apostle Paul had just got through talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And he talked about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of faith, and healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and speaking in tongues, interpretations of tongues, and all of these were operated in the church by the Holy Ghost. Amen. As the Holy Ghost sees the need. Amen. And I'd like to say sometime that, we're not earnestly seeking God for a greater manifestation of His Spirit. I don't believe in a bunch of junk and foolishness, but God put the gifts of the Spirit in the church for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. Somebody say amen. Sometimes in Pentecostal churches, as far as we get, as far as the gifts of the Spirit's concerned, sometimes as far as we get is tongues and interpretations. Amen. There's seven others beside tongues and interpretations of tongues. Amen. There's seven other gifts. And Paul in his writings, and we'll probably read some here in a few minutes, amen, said, covet earnestly the best gifts. But anyhow, we don't want to talk about gifts this morning. We want to talk about the body. Begin reading with verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or what he's saying here, does it make it any less not a member of the body because it says I'm not the other member? Does it make it any less a member? He's saying no, because you may not be the eye, or you may not be the foot. You're still a member in the body of Christ. Amen. All right. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Amen. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the that part which lack. But there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Amen. You ever think, what it would be like if the mouth got mad at the belly and said, I'm not going to take any food in and starve you to death? Amen. Now, what would happen to the mouth? The mouth would starve too, wouldn't it? That's what you call mutiny in the body. Amen. That you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Now, amen, every one of us this morning are members of the body of Christ. And we are important to God. We're not only important to God, we are important to one another. Amen. And when we feel, or when we say, or when we think, amen, that we don't need one another, that we can get along without one another, we are saying to ourselves, I'll just cut my own throat. For it is the body that we need each other. Amen. It is true. It is true that this body, this physical, natural body, can get along without an arm. Amen. But it will be handicapped. And there are many things that this body will not be able to do that it would otherwise been able to do if it had both arms. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord this morning. So we need one another in the body of Christ. Someone sometimes gets the feeling, you know, because there are some members of the body of Christ that are somewhat more weaker, at least seemingly so, and need somewhat more attention, needs more prayer, needs more counsel. Sometimes people get the idea, well, forget them. They're too much trouble and too much bother. But you see, then you're cutting off your arm. And there may come a day that you'll need that arm. And that arm will help you in a difficult situation where you need the help of that arm. It'll be there to help you. But if you cut it off, then you are mutilating the body. You are destroying your own self, or at least part of yourself. Amen. Now, if you want to turn over to... Amen. Ephesians. And it gave in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a is your Bible read like mine? Until a what? But surely it don't mean that. Maybe it ought to have unto a handicapped man or part of a man. Hello. No, it don't say that, does it? It says unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Now, that brings us to our... I want to read one more scripture, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 16, 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture... Do you hear what that said? Verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture. Boy, strange you'd put that in there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be... What? There's that silly word again. The man of God may be perfect. Amen. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Amen. Now, the Word of God does not leave us in the dark as far as how things ought to be carried on in the body of Christ. It is very explicit. It tells us the instructions of the home, and that we're going to compare the two this morning. We're going to compare the church, and we're going to compare the home. Amen. And both of these are important. Amen. For God gives us instructions into these, how that we ought to conduct ourselves. Somebody say amen. Now, I want you to know this morning, the Bible told us, we've already read to you this morning, that Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
And God is the head of the Son. Amen. So the whole pyramid starts, amen, with God the Father. Amen. And somebody said, Brother Sam, do you believe that God, amen, is the supreme being that rules over everything? Oh, yes. Matter of fact, Jesus said, amen, that he was sent by the Father. And he could do nothing without the Father. Amen. And the Apostle Paul in his writing says the day will come when Christ will deliver all things up unto the Father, that the Father may be all in all. Amen. So, amen, we want to start this morning at the very top. Amen. We want to deal with the home first. Amen. And I want to talk about God the Father being the instructor. Amen. Of everything and everything under his control. Now, I don't think this world runs haphazardly. I don't think God's got this world running that whatever happens will happen. Amen. God has not only the empires of the world and the nations and the rulers under his control. Amen. That every one of our lives is under the scrutinizing eyes of God the Father. And he knows all that goes on. And Jesus said, not even the sparrows that fall to the ground fall without the knowledge of God the Father. Amen. And so, amen. I need several scripture readers this morning. Who will volunteer? All right, Brother Dooney. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 1 through 3. Who else? All right, Sister Savage. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. Who else? All right, Johnny. Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 and through 33. Amen. Now, y'all, when you read these scriptures now, stand up and read them. So, you can read them loud. Everybody can hear you. All right. Who else? Need some more? Oh, y'all are eager this morning. All right, Brother Gary. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. Who else? Somebody can read good and loud. Come on. Need one more, right quick. All right, Sister Mary, I knew you could read loud. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and start where Brother Duty leaves off there, verse 4 through 15. Now, amen. God delegates. You see, God has a pyramid of authority. You go to the armed service of the United States, and you've got somebody over you. Amen. I don't know how the chain of command runs in service, because I've never been in service. Amen. I'm not that smart to know all the ins and outs and the officers. But anyhow, I know there's a sergeant in there somewhere. And the buck private, he has to take orders from the sergeant. And the sergeant, he takes orders from somebody else, a CO or a lieutenant or whatever. And it climbs on up the ladder. Amen. I don't know exactly how they run in consecutive order. Amen. But somewhere in there, you've got your majors. You've got your captains. And you got your generals, and on it goes until you reach the highest man in the Pentagon. And everything in the service runs in order. And the top man gives an order to the man under him, and he distributes his authority to those under him, and then those under him give commands to those beneath him in the next department, or the next office, and they distribute their authority, and so forth and so on. And so God does not do things haphazardly. God does things in the same way. Some folks got the idea that God's not smart enough to know how to get things together. God has order. Amen. He said, let everything be done in decency and in order. Now, he did say, some folks take that, amen, to put a quiet on the, amen, everything, you know, and don't want anybody to shout and nobody to rejoice. But the Bible did say, let everything be done. Now, don't overlook that. By all means, don't overlook that. He said, let all things be done. And don't squash out everything, because there may be some wildfire. But he said, let everything be done. But then he said, let it be done in decency, number one, and then he said, let it be done in order. There's a right way to do things. Amen. And so it is in the home. God, the Father, amen, delegates his authority. Everything on earth, amen, in this world is delegated. The authority was given from God the Father to the Son ever since Adam. If you want to go back and read your Bible and search the Scripture, you'll find out this bears true. Ever since this earth was created, God the Father has dealt with humanity through the Son. It has always been in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Somebody said, you mean Jesus was in the Old Testament? Oh, yes, 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 amen. The Son of God was in the Old Testament. Amen. The Bible said he was the rock that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. Amen. Melchizedek, many Bible scholars believe that Melchizedek was none other than Christ himself. There are numbers of times. You remember the three Hebrew children in the fire furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar looked over in the bowels of the burning fire furnace and he said, behold, I see four men walking loose in the midst of the fire, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Amen. Then nobody had to tell him who it was. He recognized as a superior being. Amen. The God that walked with Abraham, amen, was the second person of the triune Godhead. Amen. So God the Father has delegated everything in this world. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Amen. Are y'all still here? Don't run off. Don't get all shook up this morning. I want to show you what the scripture tells us. Amen. So Christ, being the explicit image of the Father. Now, he bore the image. And you remember the disciples one day said, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said, you mean I've been so long with you that you haven't even recognized who I am? Amen. He bore the image of the Father. Amen. He was not the Father, but he manifested the Father. And everything that he'd done at the command of the Father. Amen. And so the Father delegated authority to the Son. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, read that. All right, there you have it. Amen. The head of every man is Christ. The head of Christ is God the Father. Amen. Now, don't y'all women fall out with me. I got some goodies for y'all too here. Amen. Amen. Don't run off and leave before we ever get started here. Amen. But you see, so right there, Paul the apostle instructs us and gives us, amen, the first two steps in particular. Now, he omits in that particular reading or passage the Holy Ghost. But, amen, we want to deal with that. Amen. There was a reason, because the Holy Ghost is the administrator. Amen. He is the person that distributes the power and the glory and that anointing that comes. Amen. So, Sam's going to read in just a minute. In John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. Amen. Now, the head of a man is Christ. The head of Christ is the Father. Now, you can't get no plainer than that. I don't know what Jesus is only going to do with that. Amen. That's a strong teaching right there. You just can't do much with that. Amen. Now, the Father gave the authority to the Son. Amen. Now, you want to know what all these lines are running down? I'll tell you in a minute. Amen. The Son distributes unto the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, Savage, if you read that.
Guide you into all truth, for he shall speak, not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you.
Amen. All right. Now that's pretty plain. Amen. God the Father gives and delegates authority in the Son. And the Son, amen, is not on this earth now in bodily form. Amen. He has dispatched the Holy Ghost, the third person of the triune Godhead. Somebody said, why did Jesus send the Holy Ghost? Amen. Reason number one, amen, when Jesus was on this earth, he could only be in one place at one time. Amen. He was limited by a body. And he could only be with you and walk with you. But when he said the Spirit is come, he shall not only be with you, but he shall be in you. Now the Holy Ghost is everywhere at the same time. While we're rejoicing and shouting the victory and teaching and instructing here this morning, amen, at almost 11 o'clock, amen, around on the other side of the earth, it's dark. Amen, somewhere in Australia or China or Japan, it's dark right now. Amen, I don't know what time it is over there, but it's dark. They're on the other side of the world. Amen, but the Holy Ghost is there just as real as he is here. And he is everywhere. Now, he said, it is expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But when he is come, amen, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Now, I don't want to get into that aspect of it, but I want you to notice the last part of what she was reading. Amen. The Holy Ghost has nothing to say for himself about himself. He said, whatsoever he hears. Amen. Hello. Whatever he hears the Father and the Son speaking, or whatever the Son tells him, amen, to tell the church, amen. The book of Revelation said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Holy Ghost has nothing to say of himself. He simply tells the church what the Father and the Son are discussing and talking about, or have commanded him to tell you. Amen. And he shall take of mine. Amen. Now this is Jesus talking. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Amen. The Holy Ghost is that vehicle. If you want to go to from here this morning to Culpeper, to the Steer House for dinner today, you've got to have some way or means of getting there. And so you get in your car and you go, and you turn the key on and the thing starts, and you put it in gear and give it the gas. Don't give it too much gas, you wind up in the ditch this morning. Amen. But you give it the gas and you ride. Amen. The Culpeper, that car that you're in is the vehicle. That means that is the means of transporting you from here to the Steer House. So the Holy Ghost is the vehicle that God uses, amen, to transport his words and his Spirit and his dealings and his instructions and his counsel. The Holy Ghost is the vehicle that God gets the message to the church by. Amen. If it was not for the Holy Ghost, amen, you wouldn't have knowledge that you have this morning, because the Holy Ghost is the vehicle that gives you the knowledge. Amen. You still here this morning now? All right. So, amen, God the Father delegates authority to the Son, and the Son delegates authority to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, in turn, amen, instructs the husband. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Who has that? Amen. Boy, I gave that scripture to the right feller, didn't I? Amen. Amen. Now, amen. All right. Johnny, you get married one of these days, son. Just hang in there. Amen. No place here in the Bible does it say for a man to whip his wife. No place. There's no scripture anywhere for wife beaters. On the other hand, there's no place for husband beaters either. Hello. But the two should work in harmony together as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost work in absolute harmony. Amen. So should the husband and the wife work in harmony with all the other chain of command. Amen. And I say again, we're going to deal with this in a greater sense in just a few minutes to get on this other chart. Amen. If the mouth gets mad at the stomach and refuses to chew its food and swallow it, amen, the stomach's in trouble. The feet are in trouble. The hands are in trouble. Amen. And so is the mouth in trouble. Now, amen, if the husband gets mad at the wife, amen, and won't perform his duties and fulfill his responsibilities, this whole home is in danger. And not only that, the whole kingdom of God suffers. Did you know in the book of Peter that Peter said that when there is dissension between the husband and the wife, that their prayers are hindered? That's what he said. Amen. So, the husband and the wife must work in harmony with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Just as much as those three work together, so these two must work with these three to complete an absolute harmony in the home. Amen. Now, he said, wives, submitting yourselves, all right, let's read it. In verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. Submitting yourself, that means, now he separates it in just a minute, but in verse 21, he's talking to husband and wife together. He said, submitting yourselves one to another. Husbands, submit yourselves to your wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband, because there's times that you must come together in agreement. And you can't agree unless there is a submitting sometime on both parts. Amen. And I say again this morning, amen, and I hope y'all don't fall out with me. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. There is more trouble. Amen. There's more trouble in homes, probably over money, than any other one single issue in the household. Your money and my money. I worked hard for this. I'll spend it like I want to. You spend yours like you want to. And there's probably been more disagreements and arguments. Boy, am I telling you something? I ain't probably not telling you nothing you didn't already know. Amen. But I'll say there's probably been more disagreements and arguments about money than any other thing. Somebody said it's a 50-50 proposition. No such of a thing. A family, a marriage will not work. You can say what you want to. You can try it if you want to. It will not work. 50-50 will not work. Amen. My wife is a smiling. Amen. But it must be 100%. And that is, it is no such of a thing, and a marriage is yours and mine. Amen. And sometimes us husbands, you know, we're joshing and we're cutting up with our wives and we aggravate them. And we'll say, yeah, what's yours is mine, what's mine's mine. Amen. But it'll never work like that. Amen. Amen. If I've got $10, my wife will have to have $10. I mean, it's, hello. Amen. She's probably glad to hear that. But I'll tell you one thing. If I've got $10, usually the bill collectors get it. Amen. But anyhow, it must work in that fashion. Because if you don't, you'll have more bitterness. And you'll have more contention. You'll have more disagreements. And arguments. Your money and my money. You done spent your money, now you want my money. Amen. He said, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Somebody said, you're out of your department, Brother Savage. Oh, no, I'm not. Amen. I'm right on it. Amen. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. For therefore is the church subject, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Oh, boy. That sometimes cuts hard on the wives. But, amen, there are not many wives that are not willing to do that if the husband will do the next verse. If the husbands will do the next verse, there are not many wives that I know of that not do the this verse. Husbands, love your wives. Didn't say gripe at them. Said love them. Amen. I'm going to lose that stick yet. I forgot my pointer this morning, Brother Mac. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You can get mad at your wife if you want to, but you're cutting your own throat. Amen. The mouth is getting mad at the stomach, but you're not helping none. You'll suffer just... Oh, brother, I'm getting quiet in here this morning. Amen. I'm just reading what the book said. Amen. Amen. Wives, you can get mad at the husbands over anything you want to, but you'll be suffering. I mean, you know, it don't work. You'll have more trouble. You'll have more dissimulation. You'll have more bitterness. Amen. And you'll just have to get down and pray through about it and say, Lord, help me. And then you'll have to go to them and ask them to forgive you. Amen. Before you'll ever get to feeling better. Amen. And it is the hardest thing for human nature to say, I'm sorry. The best thing to do is to beware to where you don't say things to start with, and then you won't have to say, I'm sorry so much. Amen, Brother Savage. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, I'll tell you, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, I don't know this morning. Maybe you're different from me. Amen. But if I hurt my arm, amen, I'm going to rub it with my right hand. Yes, sir. If I hurt my arm, I'm going to rub it. Amen. Maybe you don't like your left arm, but I do. I like mine. Amen. And if you're driving a nail, you men probably know more about this than the lady folks, but if you're driving a nail, now Brother Dooley busted his finger or thumb open the other day on a job and just laid it open. I mean, just it looked bad there for a while, and he bandaged it all up and took care of it. You know why? It was a member of his body. It was a member of his body. Now, he probably wouldn't talk too much about it if it had been Cleese thumb. But it's a member of his body. And that makes the difference. I mean, it's hooked on to him. It's joining him. I mean, he's getting all the pain. Now, he's not getting the pain from Cleve's thumb. Cleve busts his thumb. I mean, Brother Duty don't feel a thing. Don't feel a thing. I mean, he don't get none of that throb. Amen. And feel like it's going to bust open. I mean, Brother Duty don't feel that. But Cleve does. Amen. Cleve feels because it's a member. It's hooked onto his body. Now, brethren, amen, the body of Christ is Jesus and the Apostle Paul both, amen, gave us instructions that the body of Christ and the home, amen, should be worked in the same order. That when one member of the home suffers, we all suffer. Amen. Are y'all still here? And I remember some years ago, when Randy was born, he was born with leukemia. Amen. A disease, a cancer that in the bloodstream. The doctors said they'd have to go through the process of taking all his blood of his little body out and putting new blood. He had some big long name for it and putting different blood in it, and he'd have to have this done periodically. Amen. But we prayed, and the Lord came on the scene, and God healed him. And you'd never know, amen, by looking at him this morning, the big old feller, amen, that everything ever wrong with him, you see. But some folks wasn't bothered about Randy when he was a little baby. Amen. Why, it wasn't their son. It wasn't their baby. Amen. You ask them to pray, okay, and they forgot it. Amen. It wasn't their baby. It wasn't, are y'all still here? It wasn't in their home. And it didn't mean that much to them. Oh, but brother, it was mine, and it was my wife's. It was our offspring. It was a member of our family. And so, amen, we felt the pain, and we felt the grief, and we felt the heartache, and we felt the disappointment, and we felt the responsibility. Amen. And there are others that agreed in prayer with us, and the Lord came on the scene and healed him. And he never had one transfusion, not one pint of blood, in as far as I can remember, as he ever had in his whole life. Amen. The Lord healed him. And I want to tell you this morning, amen, if you have the proper compassion in your home that should be, amen, y'all still here. Amen. It ought to be that you are concerned about every member of your family being saved. Amen. Amen. This morning, there most of us here have members of our families that are unsaved. Sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, mother, dad. Amen. Whoever. But most of us are touched with unsaved. Amen. But, amen, God tells us, amen, that this body, this functioning system known as the home, amen, should be bound together by the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. And when the wife suffers, the husband suffers. When the husband suffers, the wife suffers. Amen. And you feel one another's pains. Amen. Are y'all still here? Amen. And you live with each other so long, you get to knowing how each other thinks. Amen. It'd never do for me to think anything bad, because my wife always knows what I'm thinking without me telling her.
Amen.
And we'll be riding down the road, and I'll be thinking about something, and she'll come out and say, Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 4 through 15. Who read that? Amen. Now, the subject matter I want to deal with is not hair this morning so much as it is the relationship between the husband and the wife. But being the subject of the hair is in this text, amen, I'll just touch on it and go on to our subject matter. Amen. The Bible said here, Paul, are y'all still here? Amen, said in verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now, I want to touch this, and I'm going to go on. The word shorn, if you wanted to take time to look it up in the dictionary, the word shorn means cut or to cut. And it doesn't give any differentiation between a half inch or 10 inches. If it's cut a half inch, it's still cut. Somebody said, I'm just trimming the dead ends. I'll tell you one thing, some folks got the longest dead ends I ever seen. Amen. The Bible said it is a shame for a woman to have shorn hair, and that simply means it is a shame for a woman to have cut hair. That is the translation, cut. Yeah. And that don't, it, as far as I'm concerned, I believe the Bible's right. Amen. I believe the Bible's right, don't you? I know the Bible's right. And God don't care whether you wear it up on top of your head or hanging down your back. Amen. He don't find no place in the Bible where you should do either one. The Bible said it is for her glory. It's not for her to glory in. It is for her glory. Now, amen. Are y'all still here now? Don't get scared. Amen. Well, I'm just telling you what the book said. Now, we dealt with that. Amen. And that means that men are to have short hair. He said it is. Somebody said, well, how long is long? Well, if you keep it cut, you won't know how long is. Amen. And I'll say this morning, while we are on this particular subject, men, keep your ears out from under your hair and your hair off of your collar. Amen. Where you look like a man. Praise the Lord. That's good. Thank you. All right. I got that took care of. I want to deal with one other subject here before we go on. And some people have asked about this scripture numbers of times in verse 10. Amen. The Bible said, "For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels." Now, why? Why did he mention that? Because of the angels. Amen. The translation, the literal translation is this: a covering in sign that she is under the power of her husband, as the angels are under power of God in the subjection. And you can mark it down. You can notice it. You can notice it. You can notice it. When women starts bobbing their hair, they will become arrogant, rebellious, you spend your money, I'll spend mine. Independent. Amen. It happens. And God said he would not tolerate such things among the angels. The angels are in absolute, total commitment, submission, and authority of God. And so must be the wife unto her husband. And so must be her husband unto Christ. Somebody say amen. Now, he gives us the relationship here in this instruction in the 11th chapter. Amen. Somebody said, oh, the hair issue is not important. Paul only dealt a few verses with it. Amen. He thought it important enough that he dealt with the hair issue before he did the Lord's Supper. He dealt with the Lord's Supper in the same chapter, in this 11th chapter. And every one of us believe in the Lord's Supper and communion and the grape juice and the broken body. Amen. And the communion service. Are y'all still here? Paul dealt with that issue in this chapter, and it was important enough for him to write about it in this chapter to the Corinthians church. Amen. And if you believe in the communion of the Lord's Supper, amen, don't throw away the first part of the chapter. Amen. Paul thought it important enough that he wrote about this subject before he did the Lord's Supper. Amen. You can take that for what it's worth. But anyhow, amen, he gave us the relationship. Amen. The woman being the weaker vessel. Now, maybe you don't like to look at it like that. And I will honestly say that I have seen times that the woman was the stronger vessel when it come to serving the Lord. Amen. But in God's overall picture, amen, he made it so that the woman was the weaker vessel in the sense, amen, of her being under the man in authority. Now, he made it so in the beginning, amen. He did not make Adam out of Eve, and he did not create Adam and Edward. Amen. He created Adam and Eve. Are you still here now? Amen. All right. And I want us to notice here the relationship. I know I'm running out of time. I wanted to get, maybe I'll save that for next Sunday. Amen. But I want us to notice the relationship that he puts between the two. Amen. And the husband is to love the wife. She was taken from Adam's rib. And she was made the weaker vessel. And God made it that way. And it is not a shame. It is not a disgrace. It is not primitive thinking to think that way, as the ERA movement would have you to believe, that the woman has been suppressed for so many years that she has rights. Amen. No, that is not the issue. Amen. There are certain methods and means of order that God made and created and set in order to function that way. And when it gets out of that order, it gets unbalanced and there's trouble and turmoil. Somebody say amen. So the wife being the weaker vessel, as one scripture put it, amen, she is made for the husband. And the husband is to love his wife. And their relationship together, amen, is to be very closely. They two shall be one flesh. Amen. All right. And then the wife, amen, is a delegated authority to take care of the children. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, let's read that. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I want us to notice here, children, obey your parents. Now, amen. This is the first commandment with promise. I want us to notice in this cone, and I'll call it a cone because it's an upside down cone, the wife being below the husband being below the Holy Ghost being below the Son being below the Father. Amen. And each one of them descending their authority until finally the wife instructs the children, cares for the children, takes care of the children, and brings them in the fear of the Lord. And them children are to obey the mother and the father. And in turn, and I want to say this morning, a child that does not honor or reverence or respect mom and daddy does not reverence and respect the God of mom and daddy. Amen? Do you hear me now? The child that does not reverence and respect and honor mom and daddy does not respect and reverence and honor the God of mom and daddy. All right. I want us to notice, amen, the fact that the wife being the responsibility of the care of the home and over the children and the teaching them in many things, instructing them, caring for them, washing them, bathing them, feeding them, caring for the home as a wife does, her oversight being right over the children is very limited. Looking down, she is very limited. Her oversight is she is very protective. Now, that is the nature of a wife and a mother. She is very protective. And if anything, now you want to get a woman stirred up, you get to fool with her kids. That's nature. That is the way God made them. Amen. Now, that is right. Now, you say what you want to this morning. That is right. And if you want, now, if you want to, if this wife is really, if she is really not prayerful and consecrated and dedicated as she should be, not only to her husband, but unto God, sometimes she'll think the husband's wrong in his jurisdiction of the children and his oversight and when her husband may tell the children or pronounce some severe penalty, amen. Now, that wife there, she's very protective of them children. God made her that way. And sometimes she may not say, no, 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 honey, no, no, I don't know about that. Because she's thinking, I want to tell you something. Somebody said one time something, and it has struck so true. And I have noticed it through the years. A mother and a wife, amen, thinks with her heart and not her head. She thinks with the love of her heart and not good common sense of her head. That's very true. Now, if you don't think so, you stop a few minutes and think about some things that's happened in your life and in your home, and you see if that isn't true. Amen. A woman, she's very protective. Now, amen. The supper table's ready. Of course, this doesn't probably hold true too much anymore as much as it used to, but we got more trouble with our children than what we used to. But I have seen this for an example. Supper's ready. John has been called four times. And Daddy says, John, if you're not at this table the time we sit down to eat, you don't get any supper. You've been called four times. Now, you get yourself to the table or you do without supper. Are you still here? Amen. And 10 minutes after everybody sat down to the table, here comes Johnny. I ain't talking about Johnny Bragg. I'm just using Johnny for a name. And, amen. Daddy says, son, I called you, and I told you. You were told four times, and I called you the last time. Well, you could be here when the supper table set, and if you're not here, amen, you don't get supper. You just have been out there fooling around and playing, and you were told and told and told. Now, you do without supper. Amen. The wife, if she's not consecrated, she want to argue just a little bit with her husband because she is protective of her child. That is her baby. She went in the valley of death to bring that child into the world. And when that child does without, mama in her spirit does without. Are you still here? And so naturally, mama wants that child to eat supper even if he's 10 minutes late. And mama's thinking with the love of her heart while daddy is thinking with common brains of trying to teach that child not just, he's not punishing him mean in a sense, but wanting to teach that child a lesson of obedience. Somebody say amen. And so that wife says, Sam, I think he's too strong. Now, he's been playing hard all day. And he's been a long time since he only had a sandwich for dinner. Don't you think that your judgment is too hard? Amen. And she's thinking with her heart. But I'll tell you what. If mama wins, that will become one of the most rebellious children that ever walked in shoe leather. Amen. Amen. Why? You see, the father, amen, can see further out than the mother. She only sees a certain portion that her child is hungry and that he is going to be doing without supper and go to bed with hunger pains in his belly. But his father can see that tomorrow Johnny's going to do something else. And Johnny's going to be a little more disobedient and a little more rebellious. So dad's looking at it from a broader scope than what mama sees. God made it that way. Somebody say amen. Are you getting the picture now? Amen. So it is important that this chain of command is followed and adhered to. Mama sees Johnny's hungry. And he's crying. Look at them tears. And mama gets to where she's not even hungry. Because Johnny's crying and hungry. And she has a tendency to be somewhat aggravated with Sam. Because her husband says, no, he's not going to have supper. He will go to bed without supper. Amen. He was told and told and he disobeyed and this is the consequences. And Mama is somewhat aggravated at Sam, her husband now. Amen. Because little Johnny is going to bed hungry and crying. And Mama's going to bed hungry and crying. But if that continues, then the relationship between this whole family unit is severed with God. And the blessings of the Lord will not be on that home.
Amen.
On this issue in particular, the unity is broken. The family ties is broken. The love is broken because the entire upheaval and the bitterness, the stubbornness, the disobedience. And so God's blessings may be somewhat withheld. And that makes the whole thing worse again. Amen. But if, amen, that wife will rely upon the judgment of her husband and says, well, Sam, my heart tells me that Johnny's hungry. And my heart tells me that he's crying. And my heart bleeds for him. But if that's your judgment, and you seeing further than I can see, and you can see what tomorrow's going to bring, I may not altogether be able to see it, but if you feel like that's what God and the Holy Ghost and the Son and the Father would have you to do, and that you're doing at the command of God, then I'll do it. Johnny can go to bed without for supper. And Johnny can go to bed crying. But remember, Sam, you are responsible. My hands are clean. Sam, you are responsible. If that child goes to bed hungry, you're the one who sent him there. And you must stand before God with the responsibility that you sent Johnny to bed hungry and crying. You are the man that will stand before God and give account. Amen. For the action taken in this home. Are y'all still here now? And you willing to accept that responsibility? If your judgment is wrong, amen, you will pay the penalty. And if your judgment is right, you will reap the benefit. And we all will reap the benefit. But if your judgment is wrong, Sam, if your judgment is wrong, this whole family will suffer because of your wrong judgment. Now, are you still here? So the responsibility lies upon the husband, his oversight. And it is, and that's the reason it is so important that men, amen, as heads of households, be saved. All right? Can you, amen, lady folks, say amen to that this morning? Amen. That is the reason it's so vitally important. Amen, for husbands to be saved. And we've got this morning ladies here this morning that are saved. They've got lost husbands. Amen. And that is no reflection on their home. None. No. No. That should give us a greater incentive as saints to pray for those husbands that God will save them. That home may be a complete unit of love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. All right. So, amen, that husband is responsible to God if he makes the wrong choice, the wrong decision, or the right one. He is responsible. Amen, amen. But, in doing so, you see, the Holy Ghost sees further than the husband. The Son being able to see further yet over this whole unit, and God the Father overseeing the whole system. God made it. And each one of these must fall in line and not get out of order. If this husband says, Holy Ghost, I don't need you. Amen. I don't pay attention to you. Amen. That home's heading for trouble. If that husband will not follow the leadership of the Spirit and the guiding hand of God, that home, that whole home, is heading for trouble. Amen. Amen. Wives, if you have unsaved husbands, for God's sake, don't give up praying for them. No, 1,000 times. They may get worse. They may get meaner. But don't never give up praying for them. Hold on to God for them. For it is important that your family be a complete unit for Christ. Amen. And we have run out of time this morning. I wanted to deal with the church and its relationship similar. Amen. To the home. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the pastor, the deacon, the elders. Amen. The teachers, the helps, governments, Sunday school workers, and the whole body of the saints. Amen. Amen. These are all important. We'll probably finish on this chart next week. Amen. Maybe I can have a bigger piece of paper or something where you can see it better. Amen. But I felt like this morning, this may not be no shout, but this is solid teaching and doctrine. And this will help us as Christians, amen, to follow our place in the body of Christ. And I'll say this morning, when we get in over here into the body and the function of the body of Christ, every one of us have something to do. And don't jump, don't play leapfrog. How many of y'all ever played leapfrog when you was kids? Don't play leapfrog in church, in the work of God, in the body of Christ. Jump over somebody else to get to do something else. Amen. Let the Lord place you in the body. Amen. Amen. And the church will work. And the church will thrive. And the church will grow. Amen. Amen. And it's all worked under the leadership of the pastor. Amen. The pastor works under the Holy Ghost and under the Son and the Father. Amen. We'll deal with that next Sunday. Amen. Trust that you receive some benefit this morning from this study. Amen. May God richly bless your hearts. Amen. We run way over. Amen. Brother Gary, amen. Come this morning and birthday.